This is Sound the Shofar on Warn Radio. It is Shabbat and time for fellowship, the Word of God and rest. Join us now as we enter into Sound the Shofar on the Watchman Alert Radio Network.
And welcome to Sound the Shofar. Here is a clue to tonight's study. Adultery is not the worst of sins. It is simply a sin. Yet there is a light that shines which takes away all sins. Stay tuned for more on this later. It is Friday, the 8th day of April, 2016. Excuse me. And we are glad you joined us. I am Tower, and we are covering the end of days as they happen. This is Warn Radio. The readings in the Word this week are found in Leviticus chapter 12, verses 1 through chapter 13, verse 59, 2 Kings chapter 4, starting at verse 42 through chapter 5, verse 19, and the New Testament reading is found in Matthew chapter 8, verses 1 through 4. And this week, tonight is the new moon and the new month, Nisan. And our spring feast, Passover, begins Friday, April 22nd through Saturday, April 23rd. Unleavened bread begins April 23rd through the evening of the 30th. And the first fruits and weeks begins April 24th in the evening. And appointed time finishes on Pentecost, 50 days later. You can follow Warn Radio and The Watchman to get in on the latest prophecy, world events, biblical teachings, and preparation for what is coming. Follow The Watchman at hashtag WatchmanIS216 or WGS_Watchman and Warn Radio at hashtag Warn Radio. Now I welcome in The Watchman. Greetings, Dan. How are you doing tonight?
Doing good. How are you doing?
Oh, doing pretty good. Glad it's Friday,
yes.
Of course, we always are.
Yes, we're glad to be here on a Friday, but it's warm out, it's beautiful out. We definitely
have the front door open.
Yeah, summer syndrome is here. Fall is far away, winter is not even thought about, and spring and summer is right on the tips of the trees that they begin blooming.
And we're excited.
Yeah, we are. We're ready. By the time we get to this time in the year, we've been through a Wyoming winter, and that's enough.
This one's been a long one, too.
You know, and the thing of it is, God has been good to us over many, many winters. And he gets
us
through. Oh,
he has. Bless his holy name.
Yes. And so we're thankful for that tonight. We're part
yes,
three of revealing Jesus, the Father's will. And, you know, at a time when the entire world is going to turn away from the love of the truth, that's found in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, when the entire world is basically going to say, hey, you know, we don't believe in all that anymore. We don't want to hear it anymore. And that's literally what Paul talked about. And in a lot of ways, we're already there. But, you know, this leads to the coming of the son of perdition, who's going to deceive the world to say that he's God in the temple of God. He'll have miracles and signs. So at a time when all that's going on, we talk about Jesus Christ, the light of the world. And tonight we're going to talk about that again. And last night we talked to the last two times on Remnant Battle Lines. We've been covering Passover. And so there's a lot of teaching going on here about Jesus, and there's a paramount reason. And that is you need to learn these stories. You need to learn these things. You need to be able to relate them to people, because the time is coming when they're going to get absolutely virulent. They will not want Christians to be speaking these things. And in parts of the country, Christians can't say anything now anyway. Matter of fact, many of them are getting killed. We've reported on that extensively. So, you know, we're going to continue preaching, you know, this. We're going to continue teaching this. This is what we do. And, you know, this is just the way it is. We need to learn this. We need to hear this. We need to go through this. We need to talk about this. And we need to tell others. And maybe if you don't have a Bible, you still need to tell the story. And you need to understand that things could change in a moment's notice. And
boy, that's for sure.
But I want to encourage you that for every good day you get, I mean, when just like now, any of you, if you have a day of peace, a day of goodness, the Lord has blessed you and you're feeling good and it's beautiful out and you can relax, you need to bless the Lord. When you stand outside and you see a beautiful sunset or a beautiful sunrise, or if you're up in the mountains or see, you know, the stars at night, you need to bless the Lord. Because you need to, you know, it's okay for us to have a good time. It's okay for us to rejoice in the handiwork of the Lord. That's what God made it for. He made it for us. And he wants us to enjoy this. But he, you know, we need to bless him and thank him. And, you know, it's good to do this, to be rejoicing and bless his name. And just, and I made up my mind a long time ago, and that's, I make it a point to go out after the shows and other nights, just about every night, I'm out looking at the stars, talking to the Lord, I'm blessing him for you know, just getting me through, just, and my family,
well,
and people that we know, you know, it's just, it's so important, and I want to encourage you along those lines on this Sabbath, that, yeah, we're talking about Jesus again, and if Jesus ever becomes old hat, then we're going to have to tell you, you're in trouble, because he is the reason the world is up in arms. The world rejected him and hated him. Even his own people rejected him. And today the Jews are looking for a savior. And they're not going to find one until he comes back. And they're going to actually welcome him. And many of them, there's going to be an amount of them that are going to, you know, they're going to recognize him. And when he comes and they get a good look, they will see the wounds, you know, that he has. And he, this is where the scripture says he was wounded in the house of his friends. And so, you know, the Jews are going to recognize that this is the one that they rejected so long ago. And, you know, this is what it's about. The devil don't want us to rejoice in the Lord. He didn't want us to have hope. You know, ISIS is killing Christians and others because they don't want us to have hope. But we have hope. And hell itself can't stop us from having hope. The devil can't stop us from having hope. ISIS or Al-Nusra or Al-Shabaab or any number of these groups can't stop us from having hope. You know, Barack Obama can't stop us from having hope. Your neighbor can't stop you from having hope, and neither can your husband or your wife if they are anti-hope and anti-Christ. Yeah, the bottom line of it is that what we have inside of us is a treasure that we've found, and we have sold all in order to possess it, the pearl of great price. And tonight we have hope, and you remember that. If you don't remember anything else tonight that I say or Tower says, you got hope, and it's through Christ. You don't have hope because I'm here. I'm preaching the Word of God. I'm a minor part. But you have hope because of Christ. You have hope because of what he did on the cross. You have hope because you got a loving Father that sent his only begotten Son. And God has done this for a reason, and he's going to get you out of this. He's going to deliver you out of the world. You're going to be glorified. You're going to live with him forever. And one of these days, every bit of sin and iniquity, heaven is going to be here, and hell is going to be nowhere to be found. The devil's going to be gone. Death and hell are going to be totally destroyed, and we will live forever with him. Blessed be the name of the Lord God Almighty.
Amen. Amen.
Now that I preached my sermon, I'm going to go out and sit in the ark.
No, you're not.
Oh, praise the Lord. Yep, well, you know, it's so true. Sometimes we can, especially living in America, and I say that a lot, you know, because I've lived here all my life, and I know the trappings of this country. But you can find the same trappings in Europe, in the UK, in Canada, in Australia, in New Zealand, and many other places of the world. And
that's
just
right,
the way
you sure
it is.
Can. It's all over. It's not singled out in America.
Yeah, that's true. And so while there's no doubt we have had, you know, we've been the paramount one to be blessed and be big. But I'm going to get, you know, one of these days America is going to be down. It's not going to be here like it is. And you're not going to want to be here when that happens. It's going to come
one day.
Well,
that's for sure.
God help us.
I don't want to be here now.
No, no. So at any rate, we are, man, the eight days into April. And May's coming up. April showers bring May flowers. Yep, we've got a lot of stuff to do around here. And we have a lot of stuff in the news, but you can go on over the websites. I've written a bunch, and we've have specialty articles all over the website. You can find those over there. But, you know, Trump, I noticed that his poll in America is 42%. They said it actually rose. And that was kind of funny because previously I'd seen numerous articles that said Trump, there's no way he's going to win. And there was this one article after another about how people are afraid to death that Trump's going to win. Well, if so many people are afraid of him going to win, where does he get his 42%? Somebody wants.
Who knows?
You know? But, you know, the bottom line of it is that, you know, he's probably going to be hard-pressed to get to the majority. Now, Cruz is really going along, and so is Sanders. But Sanders, and I've got an article on that, you know, Sanders is not a viable candidate. And I quote numerous liberal blogs, you know, people that should be for Sanders are actually not exactly for him. And I'm not, it's not that I'm against Sanders, but there's certain things that, you know, I'm not going to vote for this guy anyway. I'm not going to vote for Trump. You know,
I'm not voting for Hillary.
And even if I were to vote for somebody, you'd never know because I'd never tell you. I don't even tell my own family because it's a private matter. But yet, you know, the bottom line of it is that, you know, there really isn't anybody out there that I feel that could make a difference in the White House. But what I found is funny. That is funny is that Obama said there's no way Trump is going to get the White House. And he's come out with it and almost assured people that he wouldn't make it in the White House. I mean, Obama is getting to the point, he almost sounds like a dictator who's going to call the election just to stop Trump from getting in the White House. That's really what it sounds like this today especially, because he's been more and more vocal about it. He was flying out to California to do some fundraisers, and he's going to raise or razz the Democrats, probably get them all fired up to tell them that they can't allow Trump to get in there. But, you know, the problem that everybody has is that Trump doesn't need their money. And that's what made the Jews mad, so they booed him. He went in there and told them that. He says, I don't need your money. So, I mean, that's kind of funny when you think about it. So, at any rate, it's going to be quite election time, and, of course, the warrior is involved in a lot of these politics here in Wyoming. He's the second, you know, one in the Republican Party here, and is quite active in it. And so he's been busier than you know what. And he knows, he gets in the know about who's coming, who's flying into Wyoming to do this and that. You know, now I'm not a politician, so. But I told him the other day, you know, I'm not a politician, but I can sure do a lot better job than what these guys are doing. But,
No, I don't know if you could, because there's a lot of government controls up there.
Well, government control, I don't care about government control. I'm just going to get behind the desk, and I'm going to go through everything that Obama signed, and I'm going to unsign them. And then as soon as I get done with that, as soon as I get done with unsigning everything, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to take a vacation to Hawaii like Obama does and play in the surf.
Yeah, there you go.
And when I get down there, I'm going to tell them all, you know, so I'm sure glad that Obama is from the state of Hawaii. He showed me the light. So I went and did just what he did. I undid everything that he did. So I'm sure glad that I had him as an example. So now I know what to do. Whatever Obama's for, I'm going to be against. You know, I mean, he's the one that shut down the coal company. He's the one that shut down the energy. Even our flags are at half-mast around here in Wyoming because of what this nincompoop did. And he did it by himself. He did it without any vote from Congress. He did it without the people doing anything. And we're sitting here with coal companies going bankrupt because this idiot did it. And I'm speaking of Obama. He's the one that did it. Yes. This guy. And what did the Republicans do? Not a stinking thing. Nothing. Nada.
Nope.
Zilch.
Nope.
So, I ain't going to vote for no frickin' nincompoop Republican. That's
here,
for
here.
Sure, for certain. And I ain't going to vote for Democrat. Is there any, what else do we have?
Nothing.
I don't know. There ain't nothing.
Well,
know,
I really don't think it does any good to vote anyway. I think it's all rigged. They just set the vote out there to make people feel like they've done something good.
Well, see, that's what the warrior says. He was on the record a long time ago saying that the Republican Party is going to put in Kasich.
Yeah,
Kasich's been running he's been running all over the place. Kasich hasn't won anything practically. I don't think he's even won one state. He has.
Well, maybe. I don't know. I'm not sure.
No, I don't think he does. He has some delegates he's picked up, but he hasn't won nothing. And yet he told Donald Trump that he's going to get all the delegates anyway. And so, when today again, I seen another article on the unbound delegates, and that's what Chris has been saying, the warrior's been saying from the beginning. I mean, he's been talking about that. So Chris has been pretty much on the mark. Now, I don't know about, Casey's getting in, but he's been pretty accurate when it comes to what's going to happen at the Republican convention. I really don't think Trump is going to get enough votes. Now, if he gets the required amount of delegates, you know, before he gets the Republican convention, then they will have to accept him. But
yeah.
if he doesn't, then there's no way they're going to give him the nomination. And they won't give it to Cruz either. That's been in the wind of what I've seen. Cruz came on out and he says, you know, between Trump and I, he says, we have most of the delegates, and if the Republican Party goes ahead and doesn't put either one of us in there, then this Republican Party is going to lose a lot of people, because that will be a travesty.
Yeah.
And that's really the way it looks like it's heading right now, is that neither one of them are going to get in. The Republican Party will choose something. There's 200 other delegates that are connected to the Republican Party that can vote in this, and they're going to be voting for somebody else. So they're not going to be voting for Cruz, and they're not going to be voting for Donald Trump. So there's 200 of them, and that was the number that – so at any rate – that is according to my my best, you know. I get all that from the headlines, the stuff I do when I'm doing the news. I put it together and I see all this stuff. But at any rate, I got hope. It's not in the Republican or Democratic Party, and it's not in Trump. I don't have nothing against Trump.
That's right.
But I never considered him before, and I don't consider him now. I mean, Trump's Trump. He's a businessman, and he's made a lot of money. And, I mean, I don't care whether he went bankrupt. They made a big deal out of that, but dear God in heaven, there's a lot of people that go bankrupt.
Yeah, and he's recovered from it.
Yeah. Well, at any rate, they even said, well, he's not as rich as he says he is. Well, I don't know about what he said he was, but I can tell you that he's rich enough to fund his own campaign, and that's a lot of money.
Yeah.
So, you know, you know, and his daughter and his wife, you know, all of his kids are rich.
Yeah.
So I don't really know how this all works, but I can tell you one thing. When you can go to a bunch of rich Jews at a convention and tell them he ain't going to need their money, you know, you got to have some starch in your jeans. I don't think he did it.
Boy,
to
that's
insult
for sure.
Them. But I did see an article, you know, that said that that's exactly what the Jews needed to be told, because, you know, frankly, you know, we're getting tired of power money, even from Jews. We don't want the people with the money buying the election, whether they're Jews or non-Jews, no matter who they are. We want an election of the people.
That's for sure, but I don't think that's possible.
No, I don't either. No, no way. Well, look at Obama. He was of the people, but he was elected. Actually, if I got my figures right now, you may remember this, but you know, during the elections that Obama was elected, it wasn't that many people that actually voted. He did get a majority of the election, but there wasn't a lot of people that were voting. I mean, we've been down in the numbers that were voting for a long time. But see, the thing of it is, I mean, he's not of the people, you know, because he's, you know, nothing that I would have ever ever put in there. You know, he doesn't represent anything that I
never voted for him either time.
No. And it's not that he's done everything absolutely wrong. You know.
What's he done right?
Well, you know, the thing of it is he did save a lot of lives at Kobani when he pushed the airstrikes. They even named their kids after him. And the other thing is that he did get this thing with Cuba going in the right direction. Now, a lot of them, including Franklin Graham, weren't happy about that. But see, folks, you know, Cuba is a neighbor, okay? And, you know, these people down in Cuba are not going to overthrow America. We're doing a good job of that by ourselves. You know, I mean, it's time to just chill out over Cuba. Castro, of course, he had some harsh words, you know, some words he didn't like Obama coming down. But Castro's Castro. He's going to be dead soon, and so is his brother. The thing you're going to have to watch out is who's going to be in there when they're gone. And the fact of it is that, hey, have you ever eaten Cuban food? You know, one time Cuba was a real hot spot for Americans to go. That was before the Cuban Revolution. But the bottom line of it is that, you know, we don't need to be enemies with these people. I mean,
that's
if
right.
We can make up with the Ayatollah Iran, you know, why can't you do something with Cuba? And that's the bottom line, you know. You're not going to, it's not our job to overthrow Castro anyway. And I don't agree with that. It's not our job even to be screwing around the way we've done as it is. We shouldn't have ever overthrown Saddam. We shouldn't even have gotten involved with Gaddafi and helped overthrow him. We shouldn't have got involved trying to arm the rebels as they were trying to overthrow Assad, because that's how ISIS got some weapons and stuff, because they got them from the people that America trained. America's been training these moderate rebels, and these moderate rebels wind up as ISIS. So it's never bode well, and we're training some more. We've got horrible foreign policy. So at any rate, other than having 44 czars and doing things pretty much like he wants to and shutting down the coal industry, causing Peabody Coal, one of the largest coal mining companies in the entire world with thousands and thousands of employees, to face bankruptcy, well, he did that all by himself behind his desk. And we've got a bunch of others that are facing bankruptcy. We've got the coal mines shutting down here, laying off. I mean, and that's just the big ones. There's a lot of little things that are happening, too. And so, you know, this is what Obama's done from behind the desk, and that's the things that should never have happened. The Republicans didn't do anything to help. So, you know, as far as I'm concerned, the Republicans can go cut bait. They can chew on chew on a piece of rawhide for all I care. You know.
Yeah.
You know, you people don't impress me at all. You disappoint me. And that's all there is to it. Rand Paul, he disappoints me. He hasn't done much.
Yeah, I'm not at all like his dad. Well, maybe a little.
So, at any rate, we're going to have to do our study, and so I want to get in that. Do you got anything that you need to do before we do this?
Nope.
Okay, well, we're going to do it.
Okay.
Revealing Jesus, the Father's will. And we're in John 8. And this begins this whole series. Now, Jesus went up unto the Mount of Olives. And early in the morning, he came again into the temple. Pray early, go to the temple. And all the people came unto him, and he sat down and taught them. Now, I like this, because this shows that, you know, people were already beginning to want to hear him. So, you know, this guy is not one of the Levites. He is not a high priest, not after the order of the flesh, that is the Levites. He is after the order of Melchizedek. That's the prophecy concerning him. So this shows us that he was well accepted among many of the people. Now, the scribes, the Pharisees, the high priest, many of the higher mucky mucks did not like him. That was evident. And so they brought unto him a woman taken in adultery, and when they had set her in the midst. Now you see, this is the height of hypocrisy, okay? And, you know, the big thing that I wonder is, how did these guys know that this woman was an adulteress? Maybe she had always been an adulteress, and so they knew what she did and didn't do anything until they had a chance to try to trip up the Lord. And that's really what they were deceitful in this. Okay? This woman, all of a sudden she's taken in adultery, like, oh my, that she's the only one in all of Israel, you know, or all in Jerusalem at this time, you know, this is Roman-occupied Jerusalem. The Jews are not in power, but yet, you know, the Romans are trying to let the Jews pretty much rule themselves, get along, because they're a rebellious people. They're hard to rule. And so the Romans didn't want any trouble with them. Now, see, later on, they became really, really of a problem, and that's when Titus came in and destroyed the temple, and a million Jews got destroyed at Jerusalem at that time. And that was prophesied by the Lord. So in verse 4, they say to him, so they grab this woman, take her before the Lord, and, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. You know, and I find this so hypocritical. You know, I mean, it's like, especially in the Middle East. And if you follow the history of the Jews, you know, you're going to find that a woman that, you know, there were women around there that would sell themselves. Now, I'm going to ask you a question. Now, what patriarch... His wife had died, and he slept with a woman and gave her his ring, and he thought she was a woman of the night, an adulteress, you know, a woman that, a prostitute, and he slept with her. Later, when he went back to pay her, he couldn't find her, and later this woman showed up, and it push comes to shove. Anyway, it's quite a story, and look it up. I'm not going to tell you the answer, but now, so here's a woman caught in adultery in the very act. You know, I mean, I question all this, okay? I'm sorry. I would say, look, you people, do you really think I believe that all of a sudden, you know, you just found out this woman was an adulteress? I will lay you odds, 9 to 10, that these scribes and Pharisees knew this woman did this all the time, didn't even bother with her until they had the idea, I know, let's take her and try to trip up this new Messiah dude that everybody likes. We don't like him anyway. You know, they're doing it. They're trying to trip him up. So there's nothing good about this on their part. Very hypocritical. Now, Moses and the law commands us. Okay, now they want to make sure of this part. Okay, they're hypocritical when it comes to the woman. But, boy, now they're going to say, oh, yeah, we're not hypocritical. We know the law. That such should be stoned. But what do you say? This they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground, although he heard them not, as though he heard them not. So when they continued asking him, see, he went down to the ground. You know, he's not, because they're not going to let it drop. They want an answer from him. He lifted himself up and said unto them, he that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. Well, he went back down to the ground, was writing on the ground. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one. Beginning at the eldest, I like this. See, when you start to get a little older in life, you begin to realize your conscience and the things that you used to do even more. When you're young, you're kind of young and stupid. You know, we've all been there. I've been young and stupid. And then I was a little older and stupid. Now, I'm older now, and hopefully I'm not stupid. But see, we're humans. We do stupid things. You know, we do things that are sinful. But God loves us anyway. But these guys were doing this in order to trip up the Lord. And they were using this woman. Now, you see, if you don't want her to be taken in adultery, what was causing her to be an adulteress? That's the issue. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last, they all left, and Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had lifted himself up and saw none but the woman. He said unto her, Woman, where are your accusers? Does no man condemn thee? She said, No man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Now you see, he told her to go and sin no more. That's the key. Don't go back to do those things. So he turned around to those that were left, and he says, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. See, he is that light. Now, see, today there's a lot of people that don't want you to believe that he's that light. See, in this series, Revealing Jesus, the Father's Will, we have been giving you evidence after evidence of how the Lord worked in the time in Israel among the Jews. It was the Father's will for him to reveal himself. That was his job. The Father would do the works. The Lord would see them. Everything that the Lord said, he got from the Father. And so in this section, when light shines on darkness, the Lord's light, it's not going to condemn you. You see, as sinners, we can come to the Lord. When you first get saved, we say saved. The Jews will say then, Do you believe you're saved now? Many Gentile Christians will say, yeah. Well, in a Jew's mind, you're not saved until you get to be with the Lord, for sure. But see, we, by faith, see, and that's the whole issue here. We are saved by grace through faith. It's a faith thing. We believe. It's the law of faith Paul talks about. I've mentioned it many, many times. But see, when you get the light shining on you, the light of the Lord, and this is what John says, John 3:16, For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. But see, it goes on to say, that the Son didn't come into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Now see, that's the light. See, he's not going to condemn you. See, he will tell you what you need to do, but it's not condemnation. See, if you want to be free, you can be free. But see, later on in John 3:16 and that whole thing, it says people don't come to the light because they love darkness more. So if you don't come to the light, it's because you love the darkness more than you love the light. But the Lord, as the light of the world, doesn't condemn you when you come to him. He gives you an avenue to find forgiveness, and then the regeneration of the Holy Spirit enables you to live above those sins of the flesh. It's a regeneration, being born again by the Spirit of God. And so you don't walk in the lusts of the flesh and the desires of the mind, because your mind is part of the fallen nature. And many times your battle is within your mind. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. The mind has a lot to do with the thinking in the heart. So when God sweeps everything out, he wants to sweep your heart and your mind, cleansing you. Now see, this woman wasn't going to get condemned anyway. because he didn't come into the world to condemn the world. He came to save the world, redeem the world. Now, see, as Christians, many times we'll stand up against sin. And we are called to strive against sin. Now, a good comparison is found in Jude, the latter part. You know, there's some you save by fire, and there's some you save with compassion. Those, they're sinners, they need compassion and grace. And then the others need the law. And Paul says, without the law, there would be no knowledge of sin. It's through the law that we understand what sin is. For the law says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Well, see, now there is a solution. And this adulteress found the solution, the Lord. And he said simply, go and sin no more. I'm not going to condemn you. He didn't come to condemn. That isn't who he was. Now, see, it's up to her then to decide, well, I'm not going to sin anymore. I'm not going to do this anymore. I'm going to follow this Messiah. I'm going to follow this one here who told me that because he is of God. See, it's a revelation thing. She would have followed this guy, this Lord that many didn't know, that the Pharisees hated. They would, you know, they didn't want, what were they going to do? I mean, he was raising people from the dead, for crying out loud. See, that's the light of the world. They knew what this young preacher was doing. I call him a preacher. But, you know, he was like this prophet out of nowhere, you know, coming in. And all of a sudden, they knew where he came from, many of them. But, they couldn't explain why he knew everything. And they couldn't explain why he had all these miracles and signs and wonders that followed him. And there was things he said that they couldn't swallow. But it's a great thing to run into the light of the world. Because he gives you light, gives you forgiveness, gives you of his spirit, and enables you to walk in his way. Now let's go to John 8 again. This is verse 13. The Pharisees therefore said unto him, thou bearest record of thyself, thy record is not true. Now, of course, the Pharisees are not going to listen. Okay? See, he says, I'm the light of the world. They said, well, you're bearing record of yourself. Your record is not true. You're just speaking of yourself. You're a liar, Jesus. They wouldn't have said Jesus. That's an American term. Yahshua, the Messiah, the Mashiach. Yeshua HaMashiach. Jesus answered and said unto them, though I bear record of myself, yet my record is true. See, this is the difference. He says, for I know whence I came and whither I go. But you cannot tell whence I come and whither I go. You judge after the flesh. I judge no man. Yet if I judge, my judgment is true, for I am not alone, but I am the Father that sent me. It is written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. It says every word is, you know, is to be confirmed by two or three witnesses. And then they said it, and he says, I am the one that bears witness of myself, and the Father that sent me bears witness of me. Now you see, he knew. He came from the Father. He knew he was going back to the Father. They seen him, you know, as coming from Joseph and Mary. He was a carpenter's son. He wasn't a Levite. He didn't have the order right, because in order to be a priest or do anything, you had to be a Levite. But yet, he had these miracles. And now all of a sudden, he's saying, I'm the light of the world, and my Father bears witness of me. I bear witness of myself, and my Father bears witness, which immediately says that me and the Father are one. If my Father is God, and I call him my Father, then I'm the Son of God. And time again, he you know, these Jews had problems with this, because they simply couldn't accept that. Then they said to him, "Where is thy Father?" Jesus answered. See, and of course, many of them did know where his Father was. His Father was Joseph. Mother was Mary. His Father was a carpenter. They would have known that, especially if he was on the street doing that. They would have done their homework. If they didn't know, they would have sent spies out to find out where he came from. So they would have known. You know, we send detectives, they would have sent us by. You know, now today we have the internet and all kinds of things that we can find out things. They didn't have all that. They just sent a runner. You know, go find out where he's from. Follow him around. We want to know who his mother and father are. But many of them already knew. The word got around. He said, "You neither know me nor my Father. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also." These words spake Jesus in the treasury as he taught in the temple, and no man laid hands on him, for hour was not yet come. Now see, he was in the temple. And see, here he is claiming himself to be, well, equal to God, because he said, "My Father." I am the one that bears witness of myself. And he says, "But I am the Father that sent me." He says, "You neither know me nor my Father." See? That's where he would have run into a lot of trouble, these things. You know, you make, my Father means, if Father is your God, that means you're God too. And you can't make yourself equal with God. Now see, the Jews believe that to this day, and so do the Muslims. Neither the Jew nor the Muslim believe that God has a son. Neither one of them. Now, we as Protestants or as Christians, and even the Messianic believers, we believe that there's a God and a Father, and he has a son. John writes about it. The apostles knew about it. If you go into Psalm 2, it says, "Kiss the Son, lest he be angry." He's talking about the Son of God. You can find and trace and track the Son of God in the Old Testament, yet the Jews didn't see it. But see, we believe that, because that is the truth. Now see, this is the fundamental battle in the last days. This is the battle. See, and this is the battle that Paul writes about, that they're going to reject that love of the truth, and God is going to send them a lie. He's going to allow the son of perdition to show up, and he's going to preach, and he's going to set himself up as God in the temple of God. But see, the fact of the matter is, God the Father has a son. He sent him. That's the truth. And if you get into what John covers on this, he talks about the Antichrist. And we talked about that last night. We've talked about this a lot. That's exactly what this issue is going to be about in the end days with the Antichrist. Matter of fact, when he gets set up, and of course he doesn't go by Antichrist. That's more of a Gentile Protestant term that we use because of John's use of the word Antichrist. But really, the one that's coming is classified. He's called as the son of perdition or the son of destroyer. And the beast, of course, is the beast. And, of course, you have dragon, Satan. That's the devil. But you don't have an antichrist, but they're antichrist. Matter of fact, I told you Obama was antichrist. It doesn't mean he is the Antichrist, but he has characteristics of the Antichrist. He's Antichrist. And what is an Antichrist? It's someone that is anti or opposite of Christ. It means that there are people out there that simply believe that there's another way other than Christ. That's an Antichrist. They believe, like the Muslims and the Jews, and even Obama believes this. He says he's a Christian. but he also identifies as a Muslim. You can't have both. That's Antichrist. There's only one. You can't put your toe in one water and your toe in the other water. No, there's only one water here, kid, and this is the living waters of the Son of God. There's only one light, and that's the light of the Son of God. There's only one redemption, the redeeming Son of God who redeems us, the Savior of the world. That is it. There's no other. If you do not have the Son, you do not have the Father, and you cannot have the Father without the Son. Anything other than that is anti or opposite to Christ. It's another choice. Well, I don't believe in him. I've got my own. Okay, go ahead. See how that works out for you. It's not going to work out for you. But the world doesn't want to listen, you see. But it's up to us as the believers, and I mean people, the starch in your genes believers, not the Winnie the Pooh, bunny rabbit, poo-pooing around, sugar plum fairy type of fence-sitting, in-between, wishy-washy, world-loving Christian. We have to make a choice. Do we love the world or we love the Lord? Are we going to serve the Lord or are we going to serve our flesh and the devil? Are we going to allow all religions? Are we just going to continue what the Lord told us? There's only one way to get to the Father. Now you have to make the decision, because we will be held liable. God will hold every Christian liable for their testimony. It's very clear. Now you see, this is exactly what Jesus follows up on. Now see, now get the sequence, okay? In John 8, he talks with the scribes and the Pharisees over the adulterous woman, and he tells at the end of that, I'm the light of the world. Then the Pharisees come up and said, you bear record of yourself, your record's not true. So they've come back to deal with him again. So he continues to try to tell them. Now the next segment is, this is what Jesus says, because they do not want to believe. He says, then Jesus said unto them, I go my way, and you shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Whither I go, you cannot come. Now he just told them, you're going to die in your sins. He's speaking to the religious of the day, the Pharisees. He's talking to people that most of the people around them would say, oh, he's a Pharisee, he's going to heaven for sure. I mean, he can keep the law, he's perfect. There's nothing wrong with that guy. Paul called himself the Pharisee of the Pharisees. Yet, when he finally came to know the Lord, he said the things he did to persecute the church, he did it ignorantly. He was blinded. And so he says, I'm going to go my way, and you're going to seek me, but you're not going to be able to find me. You can't come where I'm going, and you're going to die in your sins. Why? Because they don't want to believe that he's the light of the world. They don't want to believe his testimony. They said, you're testifying of yourself. He says, I'm not testifying of myself. And even if I do testify of myself, my testimony is true, because I know where I came from. Why? Because he's the Son of God. He came from heaven. He came from the throne room. He'd been with God the Father before the whole thing began. Yeah, give me a break. Of course he knows where he came from. And he's standing around with a bunch of stiff-necked Jews, Pharisees, that keep the letter of the law, and they know the original tongues in the Hebrew, and they don't know anything. Yet they think they're going to make it to heaven. And there's a lot of people like that today. There's a lot of Muslims like that. There's a lot of Jews like that. There's a lot of regular people like that, and probably a few Christians thrown in there like that. He says, then said the Jews, will he kill himself because he says, where I go, you cannot come? See, that's their logical thing, because when you kill yourself, you go to hell. That's their thinking. And he said unto them, you are from beneath. I'm from above. You're of this world. I am not of this world. Now, see, this is all, remember, he told his disciples, my words are spirit and they are life. Yes, he was born of a virgin, and even many people don't believe that today, including pastors. But that's what it was. He was born of a virgin. He was physically brought into this world, but he was the Son of God. And yes, he had parents in this world. But when he says, you are from beneath, I'm from above, he came from the Father. He is the Son of God who emptied himself. He got rid of his glory so he could come down and walk among us. Because, see, if he didn't give his glory up, he wouldn't have been able to walk among us, because we would have died in his presence because of the holiness and the fire. See, that's why he had to become like us in order to save us. But he couldn't become too like us. He couldn't sin because he's the Passover lamb. He could have given up and sinned, but he didn't. He says, I'm from above. You're of this world. I'm not of this world. He wasn't. Yes, he was in the world, but he wasn't of the world. What does the Lord want? He says, you're in the world and you're not of the world. Don't love the world, the Lord says. The Lord didn't love the world. He doesn't want his people to love the world. You see, that's the way it works. I said, therefore unto you, that you shall die in your sins. Now, I've quoted this scripture a lot because this is one of the most poignant, straightforward verses I know of concerning Christ. See, there's a lot of people that Christians don't want to tell the truth. Now, you can say a lot of things about the Lord. There's a lot of things been said about him. But one thing about him, he was not a wuss. He was no pansy. Now, see, I've seen, and so is Tower, they make us sick. They do these Jesus films, and Jesus is some white guy. Very few times does he have a tallit. And he walks around like some wishy-washy, bisexual, metasexual, whatever, you know. That's not who this guy was. He was the Son of God, but he was all man. And he would face them down. And yes, he had love and compassion. What makes you think men can't have love and compassion? See, I'll tell you, that's the problem even with America today, and I could get in a whole other sermon here. And that is, do you really know what a man is today? If you get your view of men from these idiotic, stupid, perverted, anti-male, feminist, liberal ads that go on there, and everywhere you look, it's like that. Now, see, and I could give you an example right here. Matter of fact, Tower, you tell me, you remind me later, and I'll tell you this. I'm not going to go into it right now, but I'll tell you an example of which you would know. See, we don't know what men are supposed to be like because we've perverted the image. But see, he came out. And he told them the truth. I said therefore unto you that you shall die in your sins. For if you believe not that I am he, you shall die in your sins. Now see, your preachers don't preach that. Yeah, I can tell you that there probably are a few that would preach that. But you know, a majority of Christians would never say that. Now, you don't want to go around telling that all the time. He's telling this to people that he tried to tell the truth to. He tried to get them to understand. They kept coming back. He kept talking with them. They didn't want to listen. When you tell this to people, this is one of the final things. You know, I'm not going to cover it anymore. I have gone over this with you. I've told you. You won't believe. But he said, I told you that you're going to die in your sins. And it's like this, boys and girls. If you don't believe that I'm he, if you don't believe that I'm the light of the world, you're going to die in your sins, man. You're going to die in your sins, woman. You don't believe all these other people. I don't care how holy they look. I don't care what kind of, degree they have. I don't care what religion they think they are. I don't care how many imams or how many rabbis or how many whatever tell you the opposite. If you do not believe that Yahshua HaMashiach, Jesus Christ in the English, is the only begotten Son of God, that he died on the cross for your sins, that he is the light of the world, then you're going to die in your sins. Period. Kaput. Now you see, the world does not like that, Christian. But do you think the Lord is up there saying that it's all right for Christians to be lackadaisical, soft-spoken, ill-conceived, misspoken, sloppy, and slothful when it comes to the gospel? Whosoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous generation, him, the Son of Man, will be ashamed of before the Father and his angels. This is an adulterous generation. And you are not to be of the world. You're in the world, not of the world. You're not to love the world. You're not to have a friendship, cozy little friendship with the world. See, and you can't make deals with the devil, and you can't make deals with other religions. Oh, it's okay. You're a nice guy. You're a nice family. There's a lot of nice Muslims and a lot of nice Jews. But there's only one salvation. Period. And that's it. And I don't care how many dreams they have. And that's even what Paul said. Though I or an angel for heaven bring you another gospel, which is not another gospel, let him be accursed. So say I again. If someone comes unto you with another gospel than the one that I have preached, let him be accursed, Paul said. Why is he so adamant? Because your life depends on it. And so when we're talking about revealing Jesus, I mean reveal him for who he is. He's not a mamby-pamby wuss. He's not a co-reigner of the title of Savior. You're not going to have Muhammad and Jesus. Now, I can guarantee you, I believe, let's put it that way, that the Mahdi, there will be a Mahdi coming for the Muslims. And it wouldn't surprise me in the least if they had some other guy tag along saying he was Jesus. Remember, Jesus is the English translation that we Gentiles have used for generations. The actual word in the Greek, I've told you time and time again, is Jesus. And I told you also how it got changed from Jesus to Jesus. They did away with the letter and put one in. Now, that was about the time, when it first started, there was no J. Then they put a J in the English language. Well, at any rate, to make a long story short, we believe the only begotten Son of Almighty God, Yahshua HaMashiach, Jesus Christ. In the English, we call him that. It's okay. I've covered this. I've got a whole study on this. The one that died on the cross for our sins, was dead and buried, resurrected from the dead, was seen alive by many infallible proofs and witnesses, left instructions for the church, ascended to the right hand of the Father, is coming again. His Father is the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, the great and mighty and most revered God, even our Father, Yahweh. But Jesus, Yahshua, told us He's our Father who art in heaven. That's who we believe in. We come to our Father through His Son, Yahshua, Jesus Christ. Then He said unto them, let's go to this. They understood not that He spake to them of the Father. Wait a minute. Let's go up. Let's go to verse 24, because I went down a little bit. I said, therefore unto you, that you shall die in your sins, for if you believe not that I am He, you shall die in your sins. We covered that. Then they said unto Him, who art thou? Jesus said unto them, even the same that I said unto you from the beginning. See, they continue to say, who are you? Well, I've been telling you that. I have many things to say and to judge of you. But He that sent me is true, and I speak to the world those things which I have heard of Him. They understood not that He spake to them of the Father. Then Jesus said unto them, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you shall know that I am He, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. He that sent me is with me, and the Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please Him. As He spake these words, many believed on Him. So He was convincing people. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believe on Him, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Now see, this shows you that beyond belief, there's something you have to do. You believe on Him, but He wants you to continue in His word. Then you're His disciples. Study to show thyself approved, a workman that needeth not be ashamed. He says, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, you shall know that I am He. Now see, He was lifted up on the cross, and they still didn't know. But see, when we talk about lifting up the Son of Man, it's putting Him in His rightful place. When you have lifted up the Son of Man, when you have accepted the fact that He died on the cross for your sins, that's lifting up the Son of Man. That's lifting up the Lord. See, He's already died on the cross. He's already been lifted up there. But He has to be lifted up in the hearts of men and women. They have to recognize that, see that, and understand that He's the one that was lifted up on that cross, and He was lifted up there for them. And He says, then you shall know that I am He. See, that's the revelation. When He's lifted up, when you have lifted Him up, when you've looked at Him and considered Him, says, yes, I believe. And you're lifting Him up. You're believing. And then He says, then you shall know I am He. See, this revelation comes only through the Spirit. You can't know Him through the world's wisdom. It's a supernatural, spiritual, born-again experience. It's not going into a church and becoming a Baptist or a Lutheran or a Pentecostal. Now, see, nothing wrong with those things. But see, it's not by man, but through the Spirit. You see, the Father seeketh such to worship Him. And what is that? Those that will worship Him in spirit and in truth. In order to do that, you need to be born again by the Spirit to access the Father, who is a Spirit, and He is the Father of all spirits. And see, this little bit that He went through from the adulterous woman all the way with the scribes, the Pharisees come back, He battles with Him, all the while people are standing around listening to Him. Because many of them are not going to engage Him. They're watching, you see. But the scribes and the Pharisees, they're learned, and they think that they know it, so they come at Him. And they will engage Him. And see, in a lot of ways, this was the will of God for the scribes and the Pharisees to engage him, because the Lord had the fullness of the Spirit, and there was no way that they were going to beat him. And the Father allowed that, and the Lord allowed that, because he knew that while they were asking the questions, he was giving the answers. And the answers were not just intended for the scribes and the Pharisees. The answers were intended for those standing around listening. See, you may be witnessing to somebody, but God intended you to witness to someone that's standing over to the side listening, and you don't even know it. And while the one you tried to witness to turns and walks away, that one over there, whom you may never know, suddenly believes because of your testimony. See, this is what you have to understand. God works in mysterious ways, and he works in ways where his word never returns void, never does, but it will fulfill that whereunto he has sent it. And many times God will allow these kind of conversations to come up and even get a little heated in order to reach people standing around. Because that's what we do, isn't it? Many times we're just standing around and people get to talk and we're just kind of listening. And you don't want anybody to know you're listening, so you're just kind of diddling around with your smartphone, okay, or something. But you hear every word they're saying. Now, see, that's the way we are as humans. And so next time someone starts asking you and you're talking to them, realize that there very well could be someone that is in the audience. And they're listening to every word you're saying. And while the one you're talking to may not believe and it may not affect him, that one over there may have just been convinced. And when you get to heaven, you'll know it. Now, let's go to another segment that the Lord had. Now, see, I love these segments. See, whenever you get into these with the Lord talking like this, you know, the Lord does tell us that when you're brought before kings, you know, and all these others for his name's sake, don't give a thought about what you're going to speak, for it'll be given to you in that hour what to speak. And it won't be you speaking, but the Spirit of your Father that is in you, which shall do the speaking. And I will give you wisdom that they will not be able to gainsay nor resist. Of course, that is fully said, that if you're seeking him and you do talk to him, you do pray to him, you know, and you're where you need to be. But if you're backslidden, you never pray, you never read the word of God, you may be in trouble here. Because if you're going to be a son, act like a son. If you're a son or a daughter of God, and you are, if you're, you know, that's what the Lord said, to as many as received him, to them gave he power, become the sons of God. Whether you like it or not, or whether the theologians in this world like it or not, when Yahshua saved us, he gives us the power to become the sons of God. That's what Scripture says. We are sons and daughters of God, period, through Christ. And if you're a son or a daughter of God, then dear God in heaven, as there's a Father in heaven and he's got a son and there's the Spirit of God within you, then get up and act like a son or a daughter of God. Don't act like you are without a father. You're not. Don't act like you're without any power. You're not. God has given you all the power, all the word, all the ability you need right now. You need to access it through faith. And tap into the vital resources that the Father has made available to you. And in these last days, you're going to need every last one of those. Because that's where we're at. And, you know, many times you're not going to even think about accessing some of these things because you've got it easy. Everything's going good. Or even if it is going bad, you're still able to get by. But when you are facing the end of your life, when you're facing gut-wrenching, horrible things, people wanting to kill you, being drugged before kings and queens, and, you know, you get the picture. All of a sudden, your spirit gets stirred up, and you say, oh, God, I need your strength, because in your weakness, his strength is made perfect. Now, in John 8:33. I love it. Okay, now this is the same course, discourse. This is John 8. He just got done telling him that you're going to know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So here's the Jews. They answered him, we be Abraham's seed, and we're never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, you shall be made free? Well, see, the Jews were in bondage. Abraham's seed was in bondage in Egypt, and God set them free. Now, you see, in the world is a type of Egypt. And today, there's a lot of Abraham's seed today that are in bondage and they don't even know it. And they continue to say, we're Abraham's seed. We're not in bondage. Yeah, you are, because you refuse to believe. Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. Now see, he's not going to banter around them about being Abraham's seed. He gets to the point. Whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. That's all of sin that comes short of the glory of God. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the son abideth forever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Now see, that's he's speaking to us now. Because we know he's made us free. We're not servants of sin anymore because he has set us free. We continue in his word. He says, if you continue in my word, then you shall know the truth. And the truth shall set you free. Yeah, that's the truth. Now, see, while you have many others that say they have truth, we have the real truth. We have the light of the light. We have the word of all words. We have the truth of all truth. And we have the only Savior there is anywhere. He says, I know that you are Abraham's seed, but you seek to kill me because my word has no place in you. I speak that which I have seen with my father, and you do that which you have seen with your father. And they answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus said unto them, if you are Abraham's children, you do the works of Abraham. Oh, boy. But now you seek to kill me, a man that has told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. You do the deeds of your father. Then they said unto him, we be not born of fornication, we have one father, even God. Jesus said unto them, if God were your father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and come from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech, he says, even because you cannot hear my word? You are of your father the devil, he says, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. Which of you convinceth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's word. You therefore hear them not, because you are not of God. Now listen. Does this sound like a mamby-pamby, fence-sitter, Messiah to you? I mean, you look at some of these liberal, secular, metasexual Jesuses that they put out. You know? And it's laughable. He's talking, now listen, do you know who he's talking to? the scribes and the Pharisees, you know, he's talking to people that, you know, if you were to talk to them today, some of these Pharisees, some of these, you'd need a sack lunch. It'd take you forever if you could get a word in edgewise. He took them on. He just told them, you're of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you're going to do. You're not of God. He's speaking to the religious. Now you see, what does that tell you? If you're looking for people that may not listen, people that may be an enemy, look at the religious. Who are the ones killing Christians? Those who thinking they're doing God a service. Muslims. The Inquisition by the Catholics. Yeah, killing their own. One of the greatest inquisitions and murders of Christians there was done by the Catholic Church. On their own people. So there is a whore church today. And when this thing gets up and you see that evil one revealed, know this, the whore church will be right there with him. They will. And they will turn against the true believer. But see, here is the Son of God. Now see, when you read this, there is no ands, ifs, or buts about who he says he is. None whatsoever. So there better not be any ands, ifs, or buts in you. If there is, the Holy Spirit needs to remove them. You can have a testimony, and you can speak the truth of God, but you need to seek the Lord, get his word in you, and don't give a testimony like others. You give a testimony like the one God gives through you, you see? God uses people different ways. You know, you're not supposed to walk around and be a watchman like me or be a tower or be somebody else. You know, you're you. Just be the best you can for the Lord. And remember that in your weakness, God's strength is made perfect. See, because as we go through this, the flesh is not going to hold up, okay? Your flesh is weak. It gets scared, it gets cold, it gets fleshy, I can't remember what I was going to put in there, but, you know, we're weak in the flesh. The Spirit's strong. But see, the Spirit in you is the Spirit of your Father. And you have a connection as a child of God to the truth. And you know the truth, and it has set you free. Now, you need to allow that to flow. And there may be people that you're not even to say anything. Today, there's a lot of people you may not even talk to. Because there's a lot of people that have already made up their mind, and you couldn't reach them if you had a 2x4 and you could knock them over the head twice on Sundays and 3 times next week. You could never get any sense in them. They would never listen. You know, and you're heading into the tribulation, and people there, once they take the mark, it's over, baby. They're not going to repent. You know, there came a time in Israel that Israel would not listen at all. Nothing to what God said. Nothing to what the prophets would tell them. God finally told Jeremiah, don't you even pray for this people. Don't even pray for them. Matter of fact, he went on to say if Moses or Elijah was to stand in for him, the only thing Moses and Elijah could do was to save their own selves. They couldn't save Israel. It was that bad. That's where you are today. You are at a point with the end of days. And see, that's why Islam has grown in a lot of areas, because when you reject the love of the truth, all you have left is a lie. Now, the world does not want to face the truth that I've talked with you tonight. They will reject this. At the top level in the world, at the UN, the International Court, and in the nations of men, they don't want to hear radical preachers trying to tell people that there's only one way of salvation. They don't want to hear about hell. They don't want to hear about anything like it. There's nothing like that. Everybody's going to the same place. Everything's fine. See, that's what they want. And, of course, the Pope, he wants to baptize all the Martians that show up and the aliens. So don't be surprised if you see an announcement on UFOs and you see some weird creatures show up that tell you that they are actually the ones that created you. Now, Marzulli and I talked about this many years ago before he got rich and famous, so to speak. He's busy, busy, busy now. He's pretty busy now. And we talked about the alien gospel. It's nothing new, folks. It's the same deception of the devil. The devil is a liar and the father of lies. And this is the truth. The deception is coming. And as God says, I will choose your delusions and bring your own fears upon you, because when I called, you did not answer. God has called to this generation time and time and time again. Billy Graham preached to more people, led more people in the sinner's prayer than any other evangelist in history, and he did it in America and around the world, and yet this nation, look at it today. We are filthy, and we don't even know what goodness is. We don't know what holiness is. Our churches don't know it. Our churches don't preach the gospel. Our pastors don't stand against sin. There's a few out there, but there sure ain't many. We are pathetic. And you expect this nation to stand. It's coming down. Period. Father, we thank you for your word. Bless your word to those who have heard it. Lord, add the increase, and in Jesus' name, I bind you, Satan, from interfering with any and all people who hear this teaching whenever they hear it. You are bound from this, from interfering with them in any way, shape, or form. Open up the understanding of those who hear this. In Jesus' name, Father, amen. We are still in John 8, believe it or not. John 8 is a great chapter. If you ever wanted to, and we are going to hit John 10. So at any rate, went by fast.
We did. It seems like we just got started. That's
yep.
A bummer. Well, I enjoyed it. And thank God he set us free. He set us all free. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Yep. I agree.
And we know the truth, and the truth's in us.
Yeah. That's true. Thank God for that. 46 seconds. Unfortunately, we got to get out of here, Tower.
Okay. Good night, everybody. God bless you. Go with God, and we'll see you next Thursday. Have a good Shabbat.
Yep. Good night, everybody. We thank you for joining us today on WARN Radio. the Watchman Alert Radio Network. This is the Watchman, and for all of us here, shalom, everyone. See you again on the radio.